greatest honor to be able to announce our speaker today, and it's going to be my favorite speaker I've ever been able to announce. And so I'm really excited because there's no one that I love more. There's no one I respect more. There's no one that challenges me more to love God and love people the way that she does. There's no one that I know of that lives out what she's going to preach about better than what she's going to talk about. And so and we'll be married for 17 years come June 2nd. And so and this is our and this is a secret, but this is her first time ever preaching. And so just will you give Lacey a warm welcome as she comes up here this morning?
Well, good morning, everyone. It's been really good to be here this morning and share with you guys. We're going to talk about sharing Jesus and sharing our faith with people today, which might not seem like the natural fit in a series on relationships in the Stronger series, but sharing the good news of Jesus can't really happen well unless we're willing to build strong relationships with the people around us. And this is an area where I think that a lot of us could get stronger in. Maybe we're not really great at this quite yet. And so first I want to talk to two different groupings of people that might be in the room. One is for those of you that are here that you don't know if you believe in Jesus or if you want to follow him, and you're just here because you're curious and want to start to figure things out. We're so glad that you're here. And so my hope for you today is that you're able to just learn about something that's really important and foundational about our Christian faith. And the second thing is that you would leave knowing that you're part of a community that really desires to have a relationship with you and walk alongside you as you figure that out. The second grouping of people that I want to acknowledge is those of you that might be really new at this faith thing. You know that you're following Jesus, but you have a ton of questions and you don't have everything figured out. And you're like, how can I share my faith with someone? Like, I don't know all the things. And so to you, I'm going to say just be at ease this morning. There's lots of practical stuff here that I'm hoping will challenge all of us, no matter where we are on that spectrum, to take a step forward to get a little bit stronger in this. Now, a word that is normally associated with sharing your faith is evangelism, but I hesitated to even use that word at all because there are a lot of connotations that can come along with that word, and a lot of them can be weird. And I was part of contributing to that weirdness at different times in my life, so this is me confessing that to you. In middle school, I can remember sitting in the cafeteria and eating lunch with my friends, and we were talking about God. And this one friend asked me, she goes, so do you think I'm going to hell? And my response was, yeah, but you don't have to. If you just invite Jesus into your heart, then you won't go to hell. And if you have that void in your heart, Jesus can fill that void. But apparently she did not feel said void in her heart. And so we went along and ate our sandwiches. And then in high school, I was much more relationally intelligent and could have normal conversations with my friends, but probably did a bit of damage around the world. So I was really, I'm really thankful that I got to go on some short-term missions trips as I was growing up. And these trips were amazing in my life, and God taught me a lot and gave me a heart for the world. But as I look back at some of the things that we did on those trips, they were real bizarre. So one of the things that we did was we would set up a mini sound system in front of a grocery store in like Poland or lots of other Eastern European countries. And we would set up risers, and us American teenagers in our matching t-shirts would stand on the risers and sing songs about Jesus in English. Super helpful. And then the real treat for the shoppers came when we would then do our mime dramas for them. And so anyway, I think back to that. I'm like, whatever you're picturing right now, it was probably weirder than that. So I'm sorry to the world, but sans those examples, this has been something that God has been cultivating in my life for a really long time. And I do not pretend to have it all figured out or to be amazing at it, but it is a spiritual muscle that I've been trying to exercise more and more so that I can become stronger in it. And I want to put a disclaimer out there before we go any further, because I want to be really clear about something, and that is that people are not projects. So I'm going to say that again. People are not projects. We need to share Jesus out of love. So if you have a desire to share Jesus out of obligation or guilt, that's not the way to do it. It's got to come from a heart of love. So if you're maybe sitting here this morning, and if you can just be real about your own heart and ask the question of like, do I really, really love people that don't know Jesus? And if your answer to that is no, then that's your starting point. That's where you start your prayers, and that's where you ask God to cultivate and develop a heart for other people in you, and then see what he does from there. One of my favorite verses of all times is 1 Thessalonians 2:8, and it says, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too." So you see here, it's out of love that we are to share Jesus, and it needs to happen with our words and through our relationships. So God can use anything, including mine, but evangelism is going to work best when it's we use our words but don't ignore the relationship. And then on the flip side, if we're followers of Jesus and we're actively sharing our lives with people, we shouldn't be able to tell our story without talking about him. The problem is that we don't really do this, or we don't do it well, or we don't do it often enough. And I think there are a couple reasons for that. And one is that we ignore or forget how important it is. And sometimes we just don't care. We can be pretty selfish and focused on our own spiritual growth and our own development and kind of forget about the rest of the world. The other thing is that we're too busy. And I don't really need to explain this further, because you're all very aware, I'm sure, as I am, is that we have very little to no margin in our lives. Our schedules are so packed, and we try to sneak in as many things as we can, so we don't even have the time to look up or around at the people that God might be putting around us. The third reason why I think that we don't do this is that we're scared. And it's important to acknowledge this fear, because we're never going to move past it if we pretend we're not scared. Because it is scary, and it's okay to say that. It is scary to have a conversation about faith. And you can insert your own reasons of why you might be scared, but these are a few that I have struggled with before, and that is that we're scared that we're going to feel awkward. We're scared we're going to be rejected. We're scared that we're going to be put in a box with other people that we don't want to be in the same box with. We're scared that we'll seem too pushy. We're scared that we'll mess it up. And we're scared because sometimes we don't even know where we would begin or what that looks like. And so we need to stop and ask ourselves three questions. Do I want to follow Jesus? Do I want to do what Jesus says? And do I love other people? And if we can answer yes to those three questions, then we have established that this is really important. And it's so important that we need to move past our fear, and we need courage to do that. I was listening to a podcast a few weeks ago, and in it they gave a definition of courage that I really, really loved. It says, being courageous is feeling all the fear, but you choose to do it anyway because there's something more important at stake. And there is a lot at stake, because it's people that are at stake here. So we're going to look today at Paul, who is one of the most courageous people ever. He was the first missionary, so kind of a pro at sharing Jesus with people. And we're going to look at a letter he wrote. It's called Colossians, and he wrote this while he was in prison. We're going to be in Colossians 4, 2 through 6. It says, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God would give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone." So I want to pull out four things from what Paul is telling us to do here. And the first is to be devoted to prayer. We should be praying all the time about lots of different things. But what Paul is pointing out here specifically is that he prays for God to do his part, for God to be the one that opens up the opportunities, and then for him to be able to do his part, for him to be able to explain and share the gospel with people once God gives him those opportunities. The second thing that Paul is teaching us to do here is to be strategic. In verse 3, he says, "That is why I am here in chains." And then in verse 5, tells us to live wisely among those who are not believers. So Paul knew that there was purpose in every stage and every place that he was in. So whether he was traveling or tent making or preaching or teaching or in prison and in chains, he knew that God was using that moment to put him in contact with people that he would have never had the chance to be in contact with otherwise. So what I want all of us to remember this morning is that there is purpose in our placement. Now, the longer studies have shown that the longer somebody is in church, the less conversations they have about their faith with people that are not of the same faith. And I think that just happens. It's not like we intend to do it, but it happens slowly over time because our circles become filled with people who are also Christians. Now, don't hear me wrong. It's very important to build up those relationships, and because that's how you're going to keep growing and all that, but we need to leave room in those circles of ours for people that do not know Jesus and do not believe the same things that we do. So in every season of life, it's important for us to stop and step back and say, okay, how am I being strategic in the places where God has put me? Whether you're in high school, college, single, married, kids, just had a job change, just moved, can you look at your season of life through the perspective of purpose? And more importantly, who is your purpose? And look at it through that way. You know, John and I have had to do this through all these different seasons, and we have to be intentional with stuff because, like, I'm around church people a lot. So I have to really do it on purpose. And I think back to when we started doing youth ministry years back, and we wanted to meet kids. There weren't any in the church that we were. So we were like, we got to go out and meet kids. And so I got a job at an after-school program teaching art so that I could just develop a relationship with different kids in the community. And then when we were starting Hill City, John got a job at an engineering firm so that he could relate with people that were outside of the church. And then we prayed that I would have the opportunity to have a job that would be almost like a modern-day well, where people would come on a regular basis. And so I got to work at a hair salon, which was cool because every 6 to 8 weeks I would see the same faces and get to have conversations and interact with people that I never would have before. When our kids went to kindergarten, we made the choice to always walk up to get them and never drive and keep our phones down so that we could make eye contact and meet people that were also picking up their kids. We purposely hang out in our front yard instead of our backyard so that we can engage with our neighbors. John is on a Hill City basketball team and makes sure that only half of the team is full of church people, so there's room on the other half for other people to jump in. We have friends that will have parties at their house, and they invite their coworkers as well as church friends so that they can try to connect those two worlds. And I've heard lots of different creative examples that some of you have even done to try to engage the people around you that that do not come here and are not part of this circle in your life. But you are the one that knows your rhythm. So I encourage you to think about your rhythm. What are you a part of? And what can you be strategic in your life? Because if you're praying for opportunities, and then you're orienting your life so that you are open to those opportunities and have room for them, then God is going to answer those prayers. And so when he does, that brings us to our third point, which is we need to be sensitive to the Spirit. The really cool and encouraging thing about sharing our faith is that we are not in it alone. God has sent his Spirit to guide us and to speak to us. And there are a lot of things that the Spirit does in our life, that we could talk about here today, but I just want to focus on those little nudges and those little tugs at our hearts that we feel. And you guys probably know what I'm talking about. I mean, those moments when you're out in public and see somebody that needs help, and so you feel a tug that you need to be the one to jump in. Those moments when you are at a party and talking to people that you know and are familiar with, but you see somebody across the room that is standing there by themselves, and you know you need to move in their direction and have a conversation with them. Or when you've got a million things on your to-do list, but you know the right choice is to stop and spend time with the neighbor that needs you right then. Or when somebody pops into your head, and instead of letting that thought pass by, you call them or you pray for them. And so I'm talking about moments like that, that if you're focused and praying that God would bring them about, then you're going to become more and more sensitive to what those nudges are. And when we feel those nudges, then our part is that we have to take a step. And it's really scary. And that is when the courage comes in. Now, I'm a person, I love to talk with people. I love to meet new people. But it is still scary for me sometimes. And I just have to make the choice. I like play a mind game in my head. And I just have to take a deep breath and go, I'm going in. And I just take a step. And when you take that step, it's so exciting. And once you take that step, then we have to be ready for what's next. So the fourth thing that we need to do is we need to be ready. And actually, I skipped some stuff. So I'm going to go back. Remember four. But back to being sensitive to the Spirit and talking about the different opportunities that God gives us. In verse 5, Paul says to make the most of every opportunity. Now, what that does not mean is that every opportunity is going to start with you sharing the entire gospel message of Jesus, and then it ends with you praying over that person and then them coming to church with you for the rest of their lives. That is not what every opportunity means. It will look different in so many ways because God is going to bring different people to cross your path, and all of those different people are at a different place in their faith journey. So you might, God might use you, and you might feel that nudge, and he might use you in such a small way where you never know what impact you might have had. Or on the in contrast, you might feel that nudge, and it will turn into a friendship that lasts for your whole life. And this has looked really different for me in a lot of ways. One time where it turned out great is that I was at the Mary Mumford playground with the kids, and I was talking in a circle of moms that I knew, and then I saw out of the corner of my eye somebody that I did not know, and I felt that tug, and I was like, oh, okay, I hear you. I need to go talk to this person. And what I didn't know is that God was saying the same thing to her, and she felt that nudge. She did not know that it was God then, but so anyway, we ended up starting a conversation, and really quickly, it became a super rich conversation where we were talking about faith and God, and I was able to invite her to church, and since then, so many people have poured into her life and into the life of her family, and I got to watch her fall in love with Jesus and passionately serve him, and her family has been a part of this church now for the past several years, and so that's a moment that I was like super humbled to see what it looked like when I listened and took a step towards one of those nudges, and then I have another story where it did not turn out like that, and but that's okay. I was in Kroger, and I was shopping, and I was just trying to like grab some produce really quick. So I was in a hurry, did not feel like talking to anyone, just wanted to kind of keep my head down and go. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw somebody that I went to high school with. We were not good friends. I knew who she was, but she was working there, and she did not see me, so it would not have been rude to not say hi. But I had this battle in my head as I'm like picking out apples. I'm like, God, I am in a hurry. I would like to just go. This is probably just my guilty conscience talking to me. It's not you. And then I was like, but maybe it is you. Maybe I need to go. What if she needs it? Like, so I'm going back and forth in my head. And so finally I was like, gah, I'll go talk to her. And so I had to go like find her again. And so found her and was like, hey. And so we were able to catch up for a few minutes. And sometimes I'm able to get to the faith conversation a little bit easier because I work at a church. But so in catching up, got to tell her about Hill City, and I had like Easter invitation cards on me. So I told her she was welcome to come if she ever wanted to, and she was like 0% interested in coming and talking about church or anything. She just was not interested. She was kind, but she was not interested. And so we continued on our conversation and kind of wrapped it up, and I got my groceries and left. And I have no idea why God was using me in her life, if he was using me in her life, but I know that what he was doing in my life is he was training me to be more obedient and to hear his voice and to obey when I did. So all of these different situations are going to look so different. And now we're at point four, which is be ready. We have to be ready for when we step out in those moments and we are listening to God's Spirit. And so it's like the then what? I took this leap. Now what? In verse four, Paul says to pray that he would proclaim the message clearly. And then in verse 6 says that our conversation should be gracious and attractive so that we have the right response for everyone. Now, are you comfortable having conversations about Jesus? I think that's a real question we need to answer. Now, I'm not going to do this, but if I were to walk around the room with a microphone and say, "Hey, why do you follow Jesus?" I think very few of you would make eye contact with me. And it's understandable. And I believe that so many of you love Jesus and are followers of him. And you've got all this stuff that you could share that's in you, but we don't have any practice actually putting words to it and talking about it. If we can't clearly communicate our stories, then we can blow it in those moments where somebody's actually asking and is curious. We can blow it by not having an answer for them, and we can blow it by just being really jumbled in whatever answer that we have. Again, God can do anything, but we can do some stuff to prepare as well. Now, so the first thing that we need to know is we need to know our own story. You've got to be familiar with what your own story actually is. And I don't know all of your stories, so I'm going to let you think about that part while I give you some kind of conversational tips that can help you kind of try to organize your story in your own head. And the first one, you wouldn't think I'd need to say it, but I do, is that we need to always be ourselves, and don't be afraid to be yourself. There are two temptations that kind of happen when we're faced all of a sudden with like, oh my gosh, I could have a faith conversation right now. Do I? Don't I? I don't know. And the first one is to just avoid it altogether. We try to kind of like matrix our way around the conversation because we don't want to mess it up. So we'd rather just not have the conversation versus taking a leap and messing it up. And then the other temptation is to turn into a weird Christian robot person that says words that don't make sense to anyone else. And so you need to be yourself and talk how you normally talk and share your own story. People are not going to be offended when you are sharing your own story. In conversations with people, it's important to, if this is true of you, to let them know that you go to church. That's an easy thing to mention. And then let them know that going to church means something to you. And when you do this, a couple things will happen. One is that the conversation might not go much further as far as faith goes there. But later on, that person might just remember that you go to church and it matters to you. So when they get to a point in their life where they have a question or they're going through something or want to talk something out, you might be a person that comes to mind that they remember that they can go to for that. And the other thing is, you know, there are a lot of different opinions out there, and there are a lot of different arguments and ways people view Christianity. But something that somebody can't argue with is your story and what Jesus has done in your life and what that means to you. So it's really important to share that. Now, when you're sharing, can you share your story in under 1 minute? This is challenging. I tried it. So now a few more of these tips that I'm going to share with you come from a book called Just Walk Across the Room. It's a great resource. So when I read this months ago, I could not do it. I was like, okay, I can do this. Let me practice. And so I started practicing, and I was like, oh, I am just going on and on and on. I don't know how to like bring this all together because I feel like there's a lot to share, but it's jumbled up inside of me. And so when you're telling your story, try to keep it short, clear, use words that make sense. And this is key. Don't use superior language. that is just off-putting in whatever setting you're in. So don't use superior language. Don't sound like you're better than them. And that's something we have to like consciously think through and make sure that we're not doing. Make sure that you always talk about your before and after. And then always be willing to share what is your greatest so what about following Jesus when you're kind of thinking through your story. So once you're familiar with your story, then we've got to be familiar with God's story. We got to know what that is. So can you talk about Jesus in a way that makes sense? And the story of Jesus, we could go on and on. There's a lot we can share. But usually we only have a few minutes. In a normal conversation, just with the way it weaves around, we only have a few minutes. And so we want to be able to share in a really clear, concise way what the gospel of Jesus is. Now, you do not have to memorize something at all, but you do need to think through, how would I explain this to someone? There's a book that I was reading called Reunion, and a lot of our small groups are going through it now. It's by a man named Bruxy Cavey, and it's a great resource to read, to learn about. He helps to give the vocabulary in talking about the gospel and sharing the gospel, and he has this great one-sentence kind of definition of the gospel that I loved. It is, Jesus is God with us, come to show us God's love, save us from sin, set up God's kingdom, and shut down religion so we can share in God's life. So we need to be familiar with what the gospel is. Now I want to close with a story and then a challenge. I want to talk about a friendship that I have in my life that has become a really important one to me. And it is not one that ends with a dramatic conversion story to Christianity or is tied up with a neat little bow. It is an ongoing friendship. It is an ongoing conversation that I have. And it's full of tons and tons of little moments, conversations, and nudges from the Holy Spirit that have happened over years of friendship. It's also a reminder that everyone is on a journey, and I'm just so thankful that I've gotten to be a part in this friend's journey in particular. So we were neighbors years ago, and I would sit on our front porch and kind of wave as she would walk by and walk her dog, and then eventually I would like get up and walk to the sidewalk, and we would start having conversations, and then I would start walking with her. And so walks became a regular thing, and on our walks together, we would talk about so many things. We would talk about the good stuff, the bad stuff, the hard stuff, and just getting to know each other. And because I shared my story, I was able to talk about my faith. And this just opened up such a great dialogue for us. Because I was able to ask questions, I was able to listen to her answers, and I was able to learn so much about what her experiences have been. We come from different faith backgrounds, actually, and she was trying to figure out what she even believes. And so like she came here for Easter sometime just to support us, and I went with her to synagogue, and she kind of explained all the things that we were listening to. But faith has become a part of our ongoing conversation. And because it's a comfortable conversation that we can have, it's just always back and forth. And it's not always about faith, but we can even joke about it. So one of my favorite stories with her is that one time she helped us out. John's car was at the airport. He was traveling. And so she went with me to pick up his car. I drove his car back. She drove my car back. And she is not great with directions. And her phone died on the way home as well. So I got home way before she did, and like 20 minutes later, she pulled up, and I was like, hey, what happened? And she was like, I got lost, I missed a light, made a wrong turn, I didn't know where I was, and my phone had died, so I started to pray, and I just prayed, Jesus, take the wheel. I know that you have permission to take the wheel of this car. You don't have permission to take the wheel of my car, but I really need you to get me home. And she arrived at home. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, so there have been so many little moments along the way, but one of the bigger ones that happened that God let me be a part of is when her grandfather was passing away, and the whole family was gathered around, and he was not responding to anything. He was a Christian. And she texted me and was like, my grandfather is dying. and I want to bring him comfort in some way. So I was wondering if you know of any Bible verses that would be good to read to him. So I was like, okay, this is my moment. And so I was at Max's basketball game in an elementary school gym, and so I'm texting her whatever Bible verses I can think of, and then she texts back. She's like, he's recognizing them. He's responding. Give me more. I need more Bible verses. And so I have, like, my mom on one side, John's mom on the other, and I'm like, give me more Bible verses. We have to find them. And so they're, like, looking on their phones, trying to find all they can as I'm trying to text really fast. And it was just a really beautiful thing that I was able to be a part of. And I wouldn't have been able to be a part of if faith wasn't a part of our conversation in friendship. You know, and I don't know how this is all going to end, but what I do know is that she is confident that she is so dear to me and loved by me, and that whatever happens with faith, I'm all in with our friendship, and that she is not a project. And so, you know, I really hope, I would really want for all of you guys to have relationships like that in your life, because it has been so humbling and life-giving for me. And so I want to end with a challenge for all of us so that we can take a step forward together. And three things for us to do. Think about, who are three people in your life that you can be more present for? Number two is, what are some ideas of ways for you to be more strategic in your life? And then finally, can you tell your story in under a minute? Write it down. It would be about under 100 words is what it is. So write it out. Practice it with people. Go through it. See if it fits all those categories of being short and clear and not superior sounding. Because this is something that we can all grow in together, because there's so much at stake here. So I would love to pray for us. So if you'll bow your heads with me. God, I thank you so much for your story. I thank you for Jesus. And I thank you for what he means in my life. I thank you for the stories that are represented here in this room and for the way that you are working in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage that we need to share your good news with people. I pray that you would develop a heart of love and care for the people who you care so deeply about, and that this would be a place that would just surround people in friendship and walking alongside them. God, I pray for the person here that might decide right now that they want to follow you, that they want to say yes to you and see what a life with you is all about. I pray that you would give them courage and that you would give them peace. I pray that you would put friends in their life that would walk alongside of them as they grow. And Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you do for us, and ask that you would help us to be a light as we go out this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much.
She did great, didn't she, for the first time? And just, or for, it wouldn't matter if it was the first or the 100th time. It was just such a great Sunday here. And so thank you so much for being here. Just a couple of things before you guys leave. If you want to get connected here or want to have a conversation with someone about taking a next step in your faith, please stop by the What's Next area on your way out. It's on either side of the doorway as you're leaving here today. We'd love to just help you in the process. And the second thing is this.